Good morning. I don't know about you, but I am really encouraged. That singing was awesome, and it just lifted me up. And then hearing the word that Stephen was baptized yesterday, it is just a joyous occasion for us to be here this morning together to worship our mighty and holy God. When I was a child, growing up, we spent a lot of time outside. Back in the olden days, we didn't. The only screens we had were TV sets, and those. I was one of those children that was privileged to have a lot of those, because my dad was a TV repairman, and so all the testing of TVs was done in our house. So there was a TV on in almost every room. So I was a screen child before there were screen children. But I did. I spent a lot of time outside. All of our neighborhood kids, we played a lot of football in the front. And we would stretch the daylight out as far as we could to the very end of the day. And we're playing chase. And we didn't just use a small area to play chase and hide and seek. We used our whole block. Back then, it was safe to go over into neighbors' yards, and we would jump fences and do all that kind of stuff. And you could hear the chatter of kids and playing, and we were running and playing. But there were two voices that when I heard them, and you could hear it over the whole block, I knew I had to answer the call. And that was my parents. I would hear, "Whitney Lee, get home." And that meant if I didn't get home, I would probably get something that I didn't want, kind of the way it was. But it was so strange because I could hear their voices over all the other voices in the neighborhood going on at that time. And so their voices were really important to me as a child growing up. When I heard their voice, I knew it was time to go home. This morning, we're going to look at Abraham. We're going to look at a little bit of his history at first. And we're going to look at Genesis chapter 11, 27 through 32, before we get to chapter 12. We're going to look at his family history, how he was growing up, and see his heritage. Verse 27, this is the account of Terah's family line. Terah became the father of Abraham, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran became the father of Lot. While his father Terah was still alive, Haran, Abram's brother, died in Ur of the Chaldees, in the land of his birth. Abraham and Nahor both married. The name of Abram's wife was Sarah, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah. She was the daughter of Haran, the father of both Milcah and Iscah. Now, Sarai was childless because she was not able to conceive. Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, the wife of his son Abram, and together they set out from the Ur of the Chaldees to go to Canaan. Now, I want to stop right there for a second because I never noticed this before. Terah was going with the family, and they were going towards Canaan. And I'm not sure I understand all this, so I'm going to be real honest with you. I've been studying this. When I think about the call of Abram, I thought he just got up and he went. But apparently there was more to it than that, in a more of a time process than I thought. So it says, but when they came to Haran, they settled there. And Terah lived 205 years and died in Haran. Abram was raised in the Ur of the Chaldees by Terah, and then his family, while on the way to Canaan, stopped in Haran and settled there. The main deity was the name Sin, S-I-N, just like it says. And that was the chief idol. And Ningal was the wife of that moon god Sin, that was the moon god, and was worshipped as mother god in many of the cities of the Ur of the Chaldees. The reason I say that is because Abram was raised with idolatry. He was raised in a family that worshipped idols. And oftentimes, I think we expect people, that are strong in faith to just come out of people that are faithful, right? If they've been raised in faith, they'll be faithful. Oftentimes that's not the case. But here we see God calling Abram in the line of Christ, calling him out. And I think he received that call in the Ur of the Chaldees. Listen what Joshua 24 says. Joshua 24, chapter 2. Kind of give you the background of what Terah worshipped. It says, Joshua said to all the people, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago your ancestors, including Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates River and worshipped other gods. But I took your father Abraham from the land beyond the Euphrates and led him throughout Canaan and gave him many descendants. And then we see Stephen in Acts chapter 7 talking about this transition. He says in Acts 7, 2 through 5, to this he replied, brothers and fathers, listen to me. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham while still in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran. Okay, notice that. Before he lived in Haran, in the Ur of the Chaldees is when he received the call. Then they moved where? To Haran and settled there. So I'm thinking Abram was with his dad, and their whole family went all the way to Haran, but then they stopped there. Abram received the call while he was in the Ur of the Chaldees, and he answered the call, but it was a process. It was a process for him. And just like our calling is a process as well. So he goes on to say, Stephen goes on to say, leave your country, your people, God said, and go to the land I will show you. So he left the land of the Chaldeans and settled in Haran. After the death of his father, God sent him to this land where you're now living. He gave him no inheritance here. Listen to that. No inheritance there. If you look at, study the Ur of the Chaldees, a very rich, very lavish city, even had hot and cold running water back at that time. And that's, he left everything, and they started moving in the direction God wanted him to go. He gave him no inheritance, not even ground to set his foot on. But God promised him that he and his descendants after him would possess the land, even though at that time Abraham had no child. Even though Abraham was raised in idolatry, he listened to the voice of God. He heard it loud and clear, just like I could hear my parents calling Whitney Lee all over the neighborhood. He listened to that call and he answered it. There was something different about Abraham than the rest of his family. And it was a difference that God saw in him and in his heart. This man had faith. It was a faith in God, even though he was raised in idolatry. So now let's start in Genesis chapter 12. Starting in verse 1. The Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. We are sitting here because of Abram's faith. We know later he would be called Abraham. We are sitting here because this man believed in God, even though he was raised in idolatry, and he listened to his voice. So Abram went as the Lord told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they'd accumulated and the people they'd acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. And they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued toward the Negev. He was given a command, but he was also given promises. God's word to Abraham begins with the command, go from the country and your kindred and your father's house. God commands Abram to sever ties to his larger nation, his ties to his kinship group, and finally even ties to his immediate family and his father's house. God calls Abram to a loyalty and a commitment that transcends even his own family ties. And at that time, those were the most important relationships of all. Family was the most important relationship in the ancient world. But this command came with some amazing promises. Three promises that God makes to Abraham. There were more, but these are three I want to focus on today. God promises Abram, a land I will show you. Number two, God promises to make of Abram's offspring a great nation with the implication of a long line of descendants. And I want you to think about this. Sarai is barren, no children, and God makes this promise to her that you will be the father of many nations. How's God going to make this work? Abram believed, and he did the best he could do. The third promise is God promises to bless Abram. Blessing involved fertility, life, success, well-being, and a good name. And I find it interesting, last week Rob talked about the Tower of Babel. And here God promises to make Abram's name great. But you remember what they were thinking about? They had built their tower with the purpose of what? Making a name for themselves. Their self-centeredness and their desire to reach heaven, what did it lead to? Confusion and scattering. But now God promises to give Abram a great name as a gift, that he would be a blessing. Abraham's friends will be blessed, but his enemies would be cursed. Most importantly, God promises to Abram and Sarah that in him all the families of the earth would be blessed. That's why we're so blessed. Abraham is our father as well. Even though we are not Jewish, we have been grafted in by Jesus Christ, by His blood. We now realize that the selection of this one particular family out of all the peoples of earth does not mean that God is abandoning His love and concern for other nations. And oftentimes we get confused. God is showing His love to all these nations in this one man. God's election of Abraham is His plan to address the evil and violence of all humanity. He is addressing it through this one man, just as He addressed salvation through Noah, salvation of mankind. One family He chooses, and that one family impacts us even today. Now, we looked at the three promises that God made to Abram, and this morning I wanted to take those three promises and look at the promises that we've been given, that God has given us. We have three promises that I'm going to focus on as well to make us, that He makes us so that we have faith like Abraham. The first one, Jesus promises us, I am going to prepare a place for you. He promised Abram a land. God, through Jesus, is promising us a place as well. Listen to John 14:2. My Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. In the reading of Hebrews earlier, Brandon read, and did a great job, by the way, he speaks of Abram looking for a land. But he wasn't really looking for a land here in the depths of his heart, because he would have had opportunity to return. He was looking for something greater. He was looking for a heavenly country. And here, Jesus tells us that that place is being prepared for us as well. God promises Abram that he's going to make his descendants like the sand of the sea. To us, he promises us that we will be a holy nation. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. I want you to let those words soak in, to know how you have been called, like Abraham was called. You are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once we were not a people, but now we are the people of God. Once we had not received mercy, but now we have. Abram, I'm going to make you a nation. To us, he says, you are a holy nation. Then God promises to bless Abram. He promises to bless us as well. I'm going to go over to Galatians chapter 3. And I don't have these scriptures up, but I wanted to read them to you so that they could soak in. Galatians 3, 5 through 9. So again I ask, does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law or by your believing what you heard? So also Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abram. All nations will be blessed through you. That's the gospel. The gospel came even to Abram before he really understood all his purpose. He followed God in faith and trusted Him with everything. Are we not to do the same? Look around this room. Are you not people of faith? Have you not received the call? And I'm not just talking about a call. I am talking about a high call. A call from the God of the universe. The reason you're sitting here today is because God called you. Whether you belong to Him yet or not, you are here because something brought you here. There was a call in your spirit. God calls us every bit as much as He called Abram. And look at the impact the call of one man had. One person. Oftentimes, I think we sit in our pews and we think, what difference can I make? What difference? Look at this world. Look at the way it is. What difference can I make? You think Abram thought that? Have we not been called? Can He not use us in our little corner of the world? In our humanity, we think, who, me? You mean God can use me? I'm going to tell you right now, yes, absolutely God can use you. The challenge is to let flesh fall away and to listen to the call of the Spirit of God, who wants us to imitate Jesus Christ as Lord. He wants for people when they see us, not to see us, but to see the servant heart of Jesus Christ. He wants for people to see the Spirit of the living God. Our God is not dead. The question I have is, do you realize that you've been called? That you're called to make a difference in this place? But let me tell you what, the call is a challenge because it means sacrifice. Jesus made it very clear, if you want to be my disciple, if you want to follow me, you must hate your father, mother, your brother, your sister, yes, even your own life, or you cannot be my disciple. That is so hard for us to swallow. That is so hard for us to understand. But what He wants us to know is that if we love Him above all others, we will know how to love our father, our mother, our brother, our sister. Yes, we will even know how to love ourselves because His wellspring of love is endless. And He tells us to take up a cross. Are you kidding? The cross was death. Yes, absolutely. A man who dies will find life. We die for His sake. We will learn how to live. So all these promises come. Does God still speak to us today? Absolutely. Hebrews chapter 1. Listen to what this says. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, who is an appointed heir of all things, and through whom He also made the universe. God speaks to us today through His Son. We have His words. The question is, do we listen? There are so many voices in our heads today. The world, the media, everything is in screens, all of it. There's all these voices. But are you listening for the call? Are you listening not just for the call, but for the high call? God has plans and purpose for your life. The question is, are you willing to answer? Ultimately, you have to decide. It's your decision every single day who you will follow, whether it's self or someone else or God the Father. No one can force you to do anything. No one forced Abraham to listen to the call, but he listened and he began the process, and his life was a continual process trying to glorify God. We'll see. He made mistakes. We make mistakes. God still used him because he was faithful. And we are sitting here this morning as a result of that faith. Man, we serve an awesome God. If you want this morning, maybe you have something that you need to share with the church, or maybe you're in need of prayer. We're here to help and to support one another in this walk with Christ. We're here to help each other answer the call. I don't know how Abram's family responded when he said, by the way, we're going somewhere. Don't know where, but God is leading us and we're just going to follow Him. And they listened and they followed Him. I don't know what he had to deal with in that. Sometimes when we follow Christ, we hear the naysayers. We need to listen to the call of God. Maybe you're ready to answer the high call and follow Christ through obedience and baptism. But here's the thing. Whatever your need is, we are blessed with some amazing shepherds here. And this morning, we're going to have some at the front and there'll be some at the back. Sometimes we respond sitting right where we are and praise God for that. Sometimes it's a very private and personal thing. Other times, maybe we're overwhelmed and we need some help. We even have shepherds that go to the back so that you can talk to them privately, so that they can pray with you privately and it can stay private. But also sometimes you come forward and you don't understand what a blessing it is when we see brothers and sisters share their struggles and we go, I'm not alone. They have the courage to do that. I wish I had the courage to do that. Don't we say that sometimes? And we see the courage of those who come forward. That blesses the body of Christ. My saying, you hear me say it all the time, brothers and sisters, at the foot of the cross, the ground is level. And we all are in need of a Savior. God is no respecter of persons. He loves you. And He wants you to have fellowship in the body of Christ. And we're all here to help each other. We're here to encourage one another to live every single day for Jesus Christ. You have received the high calling of God. Let's stand and sing.